Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, welcome to Mortal and Strong, the podcast. I am Dr. Liz Murray, the founder of this project, where we have the honor of interviewing 100 women sharing their stories of facing life-changing disease, but at a young age. But we're sharing messages of hope and strength and how they are managing to live well despite this. The podcast is part of a wider charity initiative taking place this year, using art to raise awareness of health. And you can find more information about this on our website. But each episode, we are discussing a different topic on women's health for this year. Your podcast presenters today are myself, Dr. Liz Murray, and Laura Middleton Hughes. And today's episode, we have another incredible voice sharing their story. So I hope you enjoy.
Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Mortal and Strong. I'm Laura.
And I'm Liz.
And today we're actually joined on the sofa by another Laura.
Hi.
Laura's here to talk about her journey with Addison's disease, a really rare endocrine disorder, and as well as premature ovarian failure and the impact of going through steroids and premature menopause at a young age, and the life-changing impact of having these conditions. And she has some very powerful messages for us. So thank you, Laura.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So as usual, we are going to start today with our quick fire round. So curtain or blinds?
Oh, curtain.
Musical or play?
Musical.
Fireplace or no fireplace?
No fireplace.
Fruit or veg?
Oh, fruit. Mm-hmm.
Chocolate or vanilla ice cream?
Oh, chocolate. All the way.
Yeah.
Patterned or plain dresses?
Patterned.
Sandals or trainers?
Oh, trainers most of the time, even though I'm wearing sandals today.
Painted or plain nails?
Usually plain.
Okay.
But I did some special Mortal and Strong nails.
Gorgeous.
I need a picture of those.
Pub or club?
Pub.
And art or music?
Oh, that's really hard. I'm going to say art.
Thank you for doing that. That's great, we've learned a little bit more about you. We are going to first off delve right back into a little bit of the past before any issues occurred. Mm-hmm. Who was Laura? Where were you in your life? What were you doing?
So I was a 33-year-old mum of two boys. My second son, Teddy, had been born in 2013, and in 2014 we're in the process of moving from London, where we'd lived for about 9 years, I believe, and then we were moving to Norwich, to where my husband's family is from, and we were going to set up home here and settle here with our two boys and make the most of the wonderful countryside we've got here.
A little bit calmer pace of life in London.
Absolutely, and I think you find in London that you don't actually do everything that's on your doorstep when you live there. So we visit it a lot more now.
Well, it's actually not bad for Norwich, is it? You can get the train.
Very easy.
So then what happened?
So in 2014, a year after I'd had my son, I realised I just hadn't had a period for a long, long time. I'd had a couple since I'd had my son, but they were very sporadic and different to how I'd expected them to be coming back, having had a previous experience with my first son. But I didn't have any symptoms of anything else. I didn't have anything that would make me feel that it was something long term. And so I thought, oh, it's probably the stress of moving, probably the stress of starting a new job.
There's
and
a lot of like, things that stress affects.
Absolutely. And so I just didn't think anything of it. And about a year after I'd really noticed it, I was like, I'm just going to go to the GP. So I went to the GP and they weren't unduly worried about it or anything because I didn't have any symptoms. I wasn't struggling. I was teaching. I'm a drama teacher. And nothing was impacting my life about it other than the fact that I didn't have periods, which I was quite happy about.
And you were, just confirm, how old?
34.
34. Okay.
When I confirmed that my periods had stopped. My periods probably stopped when I was between 32 and 33.
And when you say stopped, did you have sort of sporadic, smaller periods?
Nothing.
And the GPs didn't want to do blood tests?
So they did blood tests once I'd gone. They did blood tests and they organised a scan of my uterus, and I was referred to an endocrinologist. Okay. And then they said everything, all the scans came back really fine, and they said, let's test your antibodies, ovarian antibodies. And they said, yeah, that'll be it. It's autoimmune. You've got autoimmune antibodies,
just
ovarian.
Like that.
Yeah. And actually, at the time, I felt like, well, I've had my children. I'm one of the lucky ones. I'm really lucky. So,
did they give you a name for what they were calling it, like a name of a condition?
They just said premature ovarian failure at the time, early menopause. That was that, really. And I took oral HRT for quite a few years and was absolutely fine on it and thought, no problems.
Did anyone counsel you as to the impact of going through early menopause?
No.
So no one had a conversation with you about the risks of certain cancers or risks of osteoporosis?
The endocrinologist talked about osteoporosis, but I wouldn't say that it stuck with me for any reason.
And no counselling.
So you were given this diagnosis of premature ovarian failure.
Yeah.
And was there any counselling or explanation as to what that means?
Not really. I was told that I'd be under an endocrinologist for a couple of years so that they could balance HRT levels, but I wasn't offered any counselling. And I think at the time, because like I've said, I felt lucky. I'd had my children. We didn't have any intentions of having any more regardless of this. I felt at the time, I felt okay with the diagnosis. Now, a decade on, knowing what I know, I think that was a bit of an error. So I was taking my oral medication, absolutely fine, carrying on working, drama teacher, busy mum of two, but life was what I would call normal. COVID hit. Everybody was stressed and anxious at that time, but I felt mine increased quite significantly. But again, I didn't think much of it because everybody was feeling that way. And then just after my 40th birthday in 2021, so this is a long time since I was diagnosed with premature ovarian failure, I just didn't feel right.
Okay.
I had what I now believe was probably a crisis,
an
Addisonian crisis, an adrenal crisis. But basically, I was getting very regularly, I was getting migraines, couldn't see in one eye, the twinkly lights, very weak afterwards. I would feel dizzy whenever I stood up. Climbing the stairs was like Everest. And I had to hold onto the stairs. And I'm thinking, I'm a 40-year-old woman. I'm healthy. I do exercise. I just can't understand what's going on here. I think they probably came on slowly, but I didn't realise because I was very much, anytime I went to the GP, I was very much like, I am an anxious person. And they would go, it's anxiety. And then things went on and people would say, oh, you've lost weight in your face, which they think is a compliment.
Yeah.
And actually to me, it was quite worrying. I was losing weight. I'm a very pigmented person anyway, love my freckles, but they started joining up. And I looked like I was wearing this tanned mask. Very strange tan as well. It's like a bronze tan.
The medic in me is like...
Things like my elbows went blue. The skin on my elbows went blue and the tops of my toes went blue. Really strange things that I couldn't eat enough crisps. I could not eat enough salt. I wanted to put it on my tongue all the time. I just couldn't get enough. Well, I'm very lucky. There's a lot of medics in the family. My father-in-law is a retired GP. And actually, I had a sense of what Addison's was because when I'd first had premature ovarian failure, one of the tests was a Schwarzenegger test. So Addison's disease means that I don't produce cortisol on my own, and everyone goes, oh great, you can't get stressed.
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, actually I've come to learn myself that cortisol is required in every single cell in your body. It's like the energy of your cells. It controls so many different things, and actually rather than not getting stressed, your body doesn't cope with stress at all.
We can't have that fight or flight response.
You can't handle
any kind of fluctuation to...
Absolutely. And it doesn't mean you don't have it. It just means you get really poorly when you do have it. So I was really anxious.
So were you beginning to think, hang on, I've done the research.
Yeah, because I'd had this Schwarzenegger test and passed with flying colours. It was always on my radar. But I'd had this big migraine adrenal issue just before we went on holiday. And... A week after that, we were sat in my father-in-law's garden, maybe 2 weeks, and he said, you're not right, Laura. And I said, what can I do? I'm taking my anxiety meds that the doctor's given me. And I've taken those for a while, so I didn't think anything major of that. What more can I do? And he said, I really think you need to have a 9 a.m. cortisol test. And so I pushed for one. And I was really lucky. I had... a sparky new junior doctor who was like, my heart rate was through the roof. I had to have an ECG. You know, my resting heart rate was something like 102 or something. Well, it just didn't have the energy it needed. It was, bottom line is it was dying.
It can be a life-threatening.
Absolutely. You're not giving your cells the energy or the fuel that they need. And so I pushed for it. And so I think from real onset of symptoms to potential diagnosis was maybe 6 or 7 weeks, but that's because I pushed and I knew what it was. I've heard lots of stories where Addison's disease can take decades pinpoint because it's rare and there's a million other things it could be before Addison's disease. So I got a phone call 7:30 after my second low 9 a.m. cortisol test. This junior doctor, 7:30 on a Friday evening, saying, your endocrinologist has been in touch and thinks you've got Addison's disease. You need to get some steroids as soon as possible, preferably tomorrow morning. And here, I'm going to send you across a sheet. This is what you need to do. And she was lovely. She was doing everything within her power. So she said, if you get poorly, you must do this.
Okay.
Double up your dose. If you feel like you're going to faint or pass out, you must go to A&E. And you need to come off your HRT for 6 weeks so that you can have another Schwarzenegger test, because estrogen and cortisol have a very close relationship.
Right.
So I was like, okay. And actually, I felt relieved initially.
Because you had a diagnosis.
I thought, oh, this could be it.
You're not anxious.
I'm not anxious. I'm anxious.
But that
wasn't the condition there. So I had the Schwarzenegger test 6 weeks later, managed coming off the patches cold turkey, and absolutely failed it miserably. The next day, the registrar rang me up and said, please tell us that you're on steroids because you need to be. And luckily enough, randomly, I was seeing my endocrinologist the next week for the premature ovarian failure for a 2-year checkup. So it was really serendipitous. And I went to my endocrinology appointment and he said, oh, don't worry. Take this medication for 2 weeks and you'll be living a normal life. And some people do. I was put on hydrocortisone and fludrocortisone because my adrenal glands don't produce cortisol, but they also don't produce aldosterone. That affects fluid balance and salt retention, which is why you get the salt cravings, why you feel like you're going up Everest when you're walking up the stairs. And initially it was fine, but very slowly it felt like someone had stepped into my life and just set a grenade off because I wasn't getting better. 2 weeks had passed and I wasn't living a normal life. And this is where I get a bit emotional. My life was just turned upside down. I couldn't work. I was just looking after my children. I was signed off work for a period of time and I felt weak. And that is everything I am not. You get a specialist endocrine nurse who you can ring up and you get handed, you know, same appointment I was told, you will be fine in 2 weeks. You're also handed a syringe and emergency hydrocortisone and taught how to inject yourself if you can't keep your oral medication down, which is the most petrifying thing ever. I'm not a doctor. I'm a drama teacher. Nobody explained to me the mechanics of going into an adrenal crisis. I was expecting one at any moment of the day.
So they told you that it could happen, but never properly...
how it would happen or what it would feel like. Because the issue is low cortisol symptoms are different for everybody. Strictly speaking, the average is once every 7 years.
Oh, gosh, okay.
Some people can go 20 or 30 years without a crisis. Some people have 2 or 3 before they're diagnosed or straight after.
Crisis.
So I don't think I've properly had a full crisis. So I'm speaking from research and information here. I believe you can pass out. For me, low cortisol seems to come with retching and vomiting. If you can't keep your oral dose down, you have to have the injection to get it into your bloodstream quickly. The bottom line is you can die from an adrenal crisis if it's not treated properly. And it's worrying when you go into A&E with, say, vomiting, and people are treating you that don't know what Addison's disease is. Or they say, I've got Addison's disease. They're like, oh, but you're not in crisis yet, so you don't need more hydrocortisone. And thankfully, I haven't met many of those. What I did face was my endocrinologist. Repeatedly, he said to me, I said, I'm not right. He said, this is a standard dose for maintenance. I said, but I'm not right. And he said, your fludrocortisone's okay, don't worry about that. I later found out he'd missed a set of results that showed my fludrocortisone was anything but all right. It was not even readable on the scales. When I found that out, I immediately got a new endocrinologist. And she has been wonderful. Wonderful. She agreed to have a day curve, which is where they check how your body responds to your medication. She found out that I needed an extra 5 milligrams of cortisol just to get through the day, which he refused to check me for because it wasn't a standard dose.
And you were trying to be an advocate.
Yeah.
Say this with other people. We had this yesterday in an interview.
Mm.
People stop speaking up for themselves.
100%.
They do. They're dismissed and they're not listened.
Uh-huh.
But you were absolutely right.
The same with the fludrocortisone. I kept saying, I need some more. I feel dizzy. I feel unwell. And my new endocrinologist said, well, just try taking a bit more for a while and see how you get on. And actually, that in itself, whilst it sounds quite, not glib, that's not the word, but quite a throwaway comment, it's actually been fantastic because I could go, oh, yeah, I do feel a bit better on that. And if I drink a bit more water and eat a bit more salty food, I do feel better. But that's not the end of the story. I've been diagnosed 2.5 years. Throughout that time, my anxiety has been horrendous, horrendous, to the point where I didn't want to leave the house. I was scared of going to the supermarket. Because everybody was focusing on my Addison's disease, the view was taken off the fact I also have premature ovarian failure.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And I, because I'd been fine with it before, thought, well, it can't be that. I thought I was basically signed up to a life of acute anxiety and periods of depression for the rest of my life.
No one should ever feel so without hope.
And yeah, again, a real kind of luck encounter. My brother-in-law is an obs and gynae consultant. I hope I've given him the right title. He's obs and gynae. And it was my father-in-law's 80th birthday in February. And we were at, we were having a meal in a private dining room. And it was beautiful. And I was having my normal levels of, I'm out of the house, but I'm doing it, anxiety. And he just, I had this hot flush, and he just turned to me and he said, Laurie, you're not on enough estrogen. He said, you could double what you take and still be fine. And that actually brought back to me, I'm living with two conditions here.
Yeah.
I'm not just living with one, particularly endocrine conditions. If you get one, you can get another. So I've got patches, little patches of vitiligo. Vitiligo on my legs, like white marks. I mean, you get all the freckles, you get the white marks as well. But also, just after I was diagnosed, I lost a big patch of hair from here. So that's alopecia. And thankfully, the medication has prevented any of that further happening. But they are linked together. So we left this 80th birthday meal, and I went home, and I said to him, What do I do about that? Because I know an appointment at a menopause clinic on the NHS is over a year wait. And I was thinking, I don't know if I can wait a year to sort this out. And my husband just said, we've done enough. You've done enough. Let's go private. And he said, go online, find something, somebody you trust, and we'll go private. And the next day I had an appointment.
Wow.
And it came as a relief, but I also felt really angry.
You had to do that.
But also that we were very lucky that we're in a position to do it. We can't do it for a long period of time, but there are so many women that cannot do that. And I felt a bit like I was cheating. I felt really bad because I said, you know, my endocrinologist had identified that my estrogen was lower than it needed to be. She tried playing around with the patches, but it didn't make a difference. And it actually increased my anxiety. And I spoke to somebody at a private menopause clinic. Within 72 hours, I had a prescription at my door. My estrogen had been gradually increased. They'd taken me off the synthetic progesterone, which comes in the patches, and they'd put me on Ultragestan, which is a, I'm going to say micronized something or other, but it's body identical, they tell me. You're nodding, so I sound like I'm saying something right. And they said, eventually I'm going to need to start taking testosterone because I don't produce testosterone in my ovaries or in my adrenal glands. I haven't started taking that yet. But I would say, I'm not, by any stretch of the imagination, I'm not perfect because this is only February, but it has been life-changing.
So has it helped with your anxiety as well?
Anxiety all hasn't fallen away, but I would manage what I call a normal level of anxiety. I was coming here today thinking, oh my God, I'm meeting new people. I was anxious. But I was able to get in the car and drive here. I'd said I was going to do it. I would have cancelled if I'd felt like I was feeling. I'd have cancelled. I wouldn't have been able to do it. It would have been too much. But it has been life-changing. I think the issue that we're facing now as women having gone through menopause, is that the increased profile of menopause is getting a bit of a bashing.
Yes.
And it's very much like, oh, well, it's the buzzword at the minute. We don't all need hormones. We don't all need HRT. But there are so many women that have been silenced because they don't know the impact that estrogen can have. And I was one of them. I didn't know that estrogen helps me to convert the cortisol I take to be more readily used by my body. I didn't know that thing.
It's not just a fertility or like an egg stimulating thing. It has an impact
on
mental health, bodily functions.
My bones. I've had terrible muscle aches and I'm osteopenic in one hip. I think next time I go in 3 or 4 years, I think that's going to be completely different, or, you know, a different situation, because I think the estrogen is going to help me with my bone density. I don't really know how that works, but I'm going to do some weight bearing exercises. Yeah. I guess encouraging more joined up thinking in the medical fields, but also empowering women to think up in a joined up way themselves, because I was dealing with them as two very separate issues, even though I knew they could be linked and had crossover. And anxiety isn't a non-issue for me. It is, it's part of my story. And I think you become, I've become, you know, one of the 9,000 people in the UK that have Addison's disease. But here's a little story. You might want to keep this in or not. I was in Lidl yesterday in Wyndham, and the cashier was saying to me, oh, I was in hospital, I've had this really bad cough. I said, oh, that's a bad cough. And he said, oh, that's a really bad, it sent me into hospital. I had really low blood pressure, and he had the tan. And I said, I don't suppose you've had your cortisol checked, have you? Just randomly. And he said, what makes you say that? And I said, I've got Addison's disease. And he said, so have I. And he's the first person I've met in the flesh that has Addison's disease.
Wow.
And it was a real serendipitous moment. But it was, a moment where I thought, oh, there are more of us out here, because most of the people I've connected with are on Instagram, Facebook groups. And those things come as a blessing and a curse with a rare condition, because you find out that there's more people like you, but also you see all the bad things that happen. And it scares me that there are so many people going to those forums for medical support, because people do not, you can't get a GP appointment. You know, you're not unwell enough to go to A&E, but you want somebody to hear and to listen.
You can share your experiences, but you cannot advise them on their individual symptoms.
Yeah.
This is unfortunately one of the dangers of these.
Absolutely. And you get people saying, I've managed to come off my steroids, no problem. And that's fine if you've got a pituitary problem. You can regain some adrenal function, because it's not your adrenals that are messed up. It's your pituitary gland. For me, I will never regain adrenal function. I've got to take steroids 4 times a day for the rest of my life. And the weight you put on, and I felt like I'd lost a bit of my identity. And doing this is part of reclaiming that identity and saying, this is the new me, with all the good old bits. Got rid of a bit of the bits I don't need. And I'm not perfect. I can still cry at the drop of a hat. But I've got a story to tell, and it's just as important as anybody else's.
And what advice would you give to those women who are someone who's beginning that journey of either premature menopause or having symptoms and not feeling well, not being heard?
Be the annoying person at the GP service when it opens. Be stood in the queue. Push. If you don't feel right, it doesn't matter what's making you not feel right. You deserve to have the treatment to feel better. But also, don't automatically assume when you get to a certain age, you're a woman of a certain age, because I'm not yet. I've felt it in the past couple of years, but I'm not. I've still got my life ahead of me. I've still got so many more years to enjoy. And I've spent 2 years really not enjoying life. Yeah, we've just come back from 4 days in Milan. And that was the first time I felt confident enough to tweak my own medication, know what my boundaries were, and to know that I'm stronger than my brain believes I am. And we had the best time. Yes. I've had 3 days on the sofa since. And tomorrow is definitely a sofa day after this. But, you know, even like today, I'll need to take a little bit more cortisol because it's exciting. Someone said, just watch out for when you're excited. You'll need more cortisol. And in my head, that translated as, don't ever get excited about anything again. And I haven't actually said that out loud.
That's really hard. That is like getting excited could affect your health.
Yeah.
The mental toll of living with that for the rest of your life. That is such a deep, deep moment there.
Yeah. And it's also, it's not necessarily my experience of Addison's disease. Everybody's experience is different. Everybody gets different symptoms, which is why it gets missed so much. But hopefully, you know, my friends will know about it now. My family will know about it now. My 11-year-old son knows how to inject me in an emergency. I'd never ask him to if he didn't feel comfortable to, but he wanted to know, so I taught him. And my dad bought, this really meant a lot actually, as soon as I was diagnosed, my dad, without me knowing, bought the How to Live with Addison's Disease book and just read it. And everybody in my support network knows about Addison's disease now. And if they tell one person, if two or three people find out from this, and
you'll have a few moments,
you know, I'll share some images of me before and after steroids. And everyone is told steroids are terrible, steroids are awful. And they are in many ways. But the combination of that and female hormones are starting to give me my life back.
That's amazing. There's this transition where you start becoming medicalized as a patient.
Yeah.
It affects the whole family.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dynamics. Yeah.
How have you found that?
I have to say, I think my children have struggled with that less than they've struggled with me being sad. I tried a different drug. I tried prednisolone over Christmas and into the new year. And it didn't agree with me. The nausea came back. The vomiting came back. I was in hospital a few times. And the boys were, when I was being sick in the morning, they were like, are you okay, Mum? That showed me that they're fear, but really that they were scared of the Addison's disease. But the main thing for me is I didn't want to get up every day and for them to look in my eyes and see that I was sad.
Yeah.
And I would say the last 6 weeks, that light has come back on, that spark has come back on, and I don't feel like I've got marshmallow for brain anymore. I feel like I can think, and I don't try and put bowls in the fridge. I don't think it's just down to the estrogen. I think the estrogen is allowing me to convert my cortisol better. And I would say I'm a different person, and I'm pretty sure my husband would agree that I'm getting the Laura spark back.
Feeling more positive about the future.
Well, I just know that I can feel better. So on the days when I don't feel better, it's hopeful.
Yeah.
And I think that's the message I would give to anybody is don't settle. We're only here for a really short space of time, and don't settle. If there's anything you can do to make your day-to-day better, do it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not underestimating the power of counselling, and we've gone private for this CBT. I'm finally getting some on the wellbeing service, but it's taken this length of time. But CBT won't fix a hormonal imbalance, and it's about being dogged and asking for the blood tests even when you think they won't give you them, and knowing your own body. In my gut, I knew I wasn't balanced on the hydrocortisone dose I was on. And I knew that this level of anxiety wasn't normal for me. These anxiety symptoms weren't normal for me.
Recognizing that and being able to find a way to communicate that to a doctor is difficult and important. But then unfortunately, you've also got then the barrier of you've got to hope that you're met with a doctor who will also listen and respond to that.
Yeah, and the thing I dread hearing now is your blood tests are fine.
Oh my gosh.
They're normal. They're fine. It's like the blood tests, they show so much.
Yeah.
But they're not the be all and end all.
Full transparent window into exactly what's going on.
I've got a really, really good friend. And whenever I'm having a symptomatic time, it's one of those people I don't have to wear a mask for. And she says, you know your body. You trust your gut instinct, Laura. If you don't feel right, you ask, you do. And she's like my little reassurance. I'm so lucky to have such a strong support network of friends and family. But she says, make sure you ask, because every time you felt unwell, there's been something, an ear infection, a virus that you've had, or something hasn't been right. Lack of estrogen and progesterone. So it's about regaining your own trust in your own body. And I think that's hard when society treats you a little bit like you're broken.
Yeah.
And I felt broken, but I'm coming to realize that I'm anything but, which is why I wanted to do all of these things.
And whilst you've been talking, I've been thinking of how we're going to use ikintsugi with you.
Well, I was hoping with the freckles, perhaps, yes. And around my jawline, perhaps where I'd have my HRT patches.
We always say at the end, what is the one thing that makes you smile when you get up in the morning? Best thing.
What brings you joy?
Oh, so many things at the minute. Waking up and feeling like I could feel joy is the first thing, but
that's so powerful.
Yeah. I think that's, the possibility of joy. There's something about bulbs that come back year after year, even though you haven't planted anything else. Blossom that comes out on the tree. But also living for my children. But also recognising that that's not enough. I have to live for myself as well. Oh, gosh, that's quite emotional.
That's so powerful.
And not living in my brain, living in the world.
So many powerful messages, and we're so grateful for you to share your story.
I'm glad it's helpful.
Unique insight into something that is rare, and there's messages there that are relevant to any condition.
I think that's what pushed me, is autoimmune conditions aren't just endocrine.
Oh, this is such a unique, rare insight into different aspects that needed to be talked about.
Good.
So I'm so glad.
Good.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you for listening to the Mortal and Strong podcast. If you want more information about today's voice or how to get support on any of the issues we've discussed today, please head to our website, www.mortalandstrong.com. And remember, click subscribe, find us on all social media platforms, and to find out ways of how to support what we are doing or more information on the project, head to our website. Thank you for listening.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.